Sephora stores are everywhere you are. So just pop in when you need a brown lip to match your 90s playlist, a confidence boost before your interview, or a last-minute gift for mom's birthday. There's always a Sephora near you. Just pop in. Use our store locator to find your local Sephora or Sephora at Kohl's.
One, are we sure? Are we 100% positive that it's going to be Joe Biden? Two, the price of neglect or the price of vision? How it is we end up with a multiple times deported illegal immigrant who kills five people, including children, execution style? Three, winners and losers in the NFL draft. It's the Will Cain Podcast on Fox News Podcast. What's up? And welcome to Monday. As always, I hope you will download, rate, and review this podcast wherever you get your audio entertainment, at Apple, Spotify, or at Fox News Podcast. Parenting debate. So I'd say two weeks ago, my youngest son, West, who at that time had not yet turned 12, 11-year-old West, comes home and says, "Mom, Dad, I want to get the R9. What is that? Is that a robot? What is the R9? The R9, he explains, is a haircut. And it begins to ring some bells. It's the haircut that the original Ronaldo wore in the World Cup. The original Ronaldo, not Cristiano Ronaldo, but the Brazilian Ronaldo, apparently going into the World Cup injured, wanted to distract his coach's eyes during training, wanted to make sure his coach wasn't looking at his hampered leg. So he got, in essence, the dumbest haircut he could imagine. Pretty much bald all around the head, except for a patch in the very front where it looks like he had maybe a 2 or 3 guard. He ended up with some type of small broad triangle across the front of the head. It's a haircut that's laughed at to this day. It's a source of legend about the reason that Ronaldo did this to himself. And here's my son sitting at the dinner table saying, "I really, really need to get this haircut." He then goes on to tell us what has happened is that his buddies at school have essentially issued a dare. Now, this isn't like out of, a Christmas story or something where you get double dared, but rather they bet him that he wouldn't get the R9, and he had begun to sort of play the field. Apparently, he had gathered a group together of maybe 10 sixth graders to all contribute to the fund, and the fund had gotten sizable. Let's put it this way, it had gotten into the hundreds, and he was already spending the money in his mind. And so he was emotionally committed, and he was telling us, "I want this haircut. I need this haircut." And thus ensues the parenting debate. All kinds of stuff goes through my head. If I say no, you can't get this, classroom distraction, this scene, this stunt. You can't do this to your head. I feel like in a way what I'm teaching him is something that I definitely do not want to teach, and that is vanity, that somehow your hair is important. I like the idea that he's willing to not take himself seriously, that he's willing to be the butt of the joke, that he's going to show up to school with the R9. I like that. And then, as he continues to sort of fill us in, I had said at one point, "Do you think if you do this, some of your other buddies will want to follow suit and there will be other dares or other bets?" And he said, "No, well, I followed so-and-so." I'm like, "What do you mean? You're the second guy at the table?" He goes, "Well, there was another guy who said, I'll get a buzz cut for $50. And then my son goes, "Buzz cut? I'll get the R9. And then he managed to raise the stakes. So I thought to myself, am I supposed to step in not for my son's dignity or respect or for his vanity, but am I supposed to step in and say, you're not allowed to take your friend's money? And that occurred to me when he said, "Yeah, no, whoever got the buzz cut said to his buddies, I'm not going to take your money." But my son felt no such remorse. And then I think to myself, I say, wait a minute, "Have you seen the money?" And he goes, "Well, I saw some of it. in short, what he ended up describing is something like 25 to 30% of the money. And he said the teachers got the money. And I'm thinking, well, here's a life lesson. He's learning about escrow. And then I said, well, what if you don't get the rest of the money? Is that enough for you to have this haircut? And he was highly offended and said, my buddies are all good for it. And I thought, yet again, well, here's another life lesson. We're about to embark on collections. But every time I went around the block, every time debate and navel gazing and self-assessment that my wife and I had, we kept coming back to, well, why not? You know, what am I supposed to do? Why am I supposed to step in? What's the reason not to allow him to do this? And I did come up with some, but they paled in comparison to the reasons to let him do it. I thought, well, if I got to be careful. Is this the first step of my son being like, who'll shotgun the beer? West will shotgun the beer. Like, am I teaching him that, you know, to accept dares or bets for money? But I'm not teaching him those things. This has come along. And honestly, I keep coming back to, I think that the pros outweigh the cons. Not on the money. I don't care about the money, obviously. For the lesson that he learns here in life. So the heat really got turned up this past Wednesday. For some reason, which I would find out later, he needed to get this haircut on Wednesday night. And so, without any real barriers or hurdles left for me to cross, I said, all right, let's do it. And the minute I said, all right, let's do it, I'll go get my clippers, he was set in motion. Man, he got his iPad, he was FaceTiming, he had a group FaceTime chat, guys were dropping in. All of a sudden, my kitchen sounded like a frat house of, well, sixth graders. Dude, bro, West, you're doing it. I'm doing it. And then I'm giving it, you know, and then how do you do that? Like, he had a big mop of hair, straight, but mop of hair. And I started with scissors, and then I'm like, this isn't working right. Do I go straight to the clippers? What guard do I start with? And it was going to take some time. At one point, I was said to all of his friends on FaceTime, are you sure you want to stick around for all of this? I'm not leaving. I'm here for the whole thing. Okay, here we go. So I gave my kid the R9. He went down to a zero guard on, I guess, about, I would say, 85% of his head. And I gave him a four guard at the front, the patch, sticking right out front. That was on a Wednesday. The bet was that he had to keep it until a Friday through the end of the week. He told me, I'm keeping it through the weekend. I want to play some soccer games with this haircut. And now in the club soccer world, tryouts are this week. And he thinks, I think I'm going to roll to tryouts with this haircut. I said, well, you'll get noticed. I find out later, which may have complicated my parenting debate, why he had such passion and need to get the haircut on Wednesday night. And I don't fully understand, but he loves FIFA, the video game. And he, you know, he wants to get a player, a certain player, Erling Haaland, and he wants to get a certain type of player card where the player's really good, so when it's on your team, you win more games online. But you can only do that by opening quote-unquote packs, and you're not guaranteed to get that player, so there was some expiration or some event that night where he needed to, or the next day, where he needed to buy that pack in order to increase his chances of getting this player, and he was going to spend X amount of his money on that player. Long and short, what I figured out is he got the R9 to go gambling. He wanted to go gambling online to get a certain player for his video game. So maybe not in the end, like, I didn't necessarily nail the parenting, but I still think it was the right thing. And of course, my wonderful wife helped ensure that the life lessons were more than just getting over vanity. She said to him, well, West, I think you should go give some to charity. And if in the moment it was wah, wah, but I'm happy to say she convinced him to give some to charity. Then she tried to say, do you think you should let your buddies off the hook? Like, maybe not, at least for each of them, require they commit as much as they committed financially. And that one really sent him into a tailspin. He just couldn't put his mind around, and I don't blame him, that idea, because, in his exact words, I lived up to my word. Why wouldn't they live up to their word? And he, with like the mic drop rebuttal, was like, I really wish you would have told me this before I got the haircut. And so in the end, I think it's all for the better. Hopefully we haven't set him down the path of chugging beers on a dare. But the best indication I have is that my wife, that we've set out on the right path and not the wrong path, is that my wife told me he approached her and said voluntarily he's going to increase his contribution to charity. So that's what he gets for walking around with the stupidest haircut that can be imagined, the R9.
We're going to step aside here for a moment. Stay tuned.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
Story number one. Are we sure 100% that it's Joe Biden? Joe Biden this week announced his candidacy for re-election as president of the United States. Somewhat expected, at least because inertia is the easiest thing to predict. Change, as we all have come to learn, is somewhat unpredictable. The existence of change is predictable, but exactly what that change might be, unpredictable. Joe put out a very Hollywood-produced production video this week. I believe Jeffrey Katzenberg was behind it, where his theme was, it's time to finish the job. What's interesting is there are a lot of indications that the American public does not want Joe Biden to finish the job or does not believe that he can finish the job, President Joe Biden. Poll shows that 70% from Gallup, 70% of Democratic primary voters do not want a second term for Joe Biden. There's no indication necessarily that they'd leave him behind, that they would choose another candidate, but they'd prefer that they didn't have to pick Joe Biden. I think what underscores that is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. I guess a good word for RFK Jr. would be iconoclastic. Iconoclastic RFK Jr., who's been skeptical of the COVID vaccine, skeptical of all vaccines. I think fair to call an anti-vaxxer, and I don't say that with derision. I say that with description. You know, it's interesting. I would love to have a conversation with RFK. I mean, like, is he against, because I don't really know, to be honest. All vaccines, he's right. I think he said when I was a kid, he got three vaccines. Now the schedule's up to 72 vaccines. I don't know that we should accept anything after COVID at face value based upon just invocations of the science. But at the same time, RFK, he's drawn, I guess, a line against the Democratic orthodoxy when it comes to trans athletes. He's saying men shouldn't play women's sports. But in the past, he's also said things like, well, I believe climate skeptics should be thrown in jail, like legit, 100% thrown in jail. He's kind of changing that position today. I saw something this weekend that he's pivoting on climate, maybe that's become science orthodoxy as well. Maybe the whole COVID experience has made him question, I think righteously, all the invocations of don't question the science. But I don't know. I'm a little skeptical of RFK, and I would love to have a conversation, and I'd love to hear the nuance and the reason for the positional changes. I've had positional changes. I don't begrudge anybody of a change. I was skeptical. In fact, not just skeptical, I was opposed to the embrace of populism in like 2011. And now, as you know, I think a healthy dose of populism is exactly what's needed for the nation. So I don't begrudge anybody from a change, but I want to know why. I'll be an open book. Anyone can ask me a question. I'd like to know more about RFK Jr. But the polling shows Jr. is pulling about 19-20% of Democratic primary voters. That's a lot. It's not as though, as I described him as an iconoclast, he's mainstream. And so if you are mainstream Democrat, you might look at this and go, 70% don't want Joe. Almost 20% want RFK Jr. How many would want me? Let's put a pin in that for just one moment. You know, the price to pay of politics and vision is such that we need to have a deeper conversation about illegal immigration. And we will in just one moment. But I think the American public has to be able to see on some issues exactly the price that we are paying. Look, Justice Samuel Alito this week said he knows, as we approach the one-year anniversary of the Supreme Court leaker, that he knows, not with the level of certainty he feels like he could cast a accusation, but he knows with some logical conclusion who the Supreme Court leaker is. And that's significant because 1 year in, we don't. Alito may know, but we Americans don't know who leaked the Supreme Court opinion that overturned Roe v. Wade, Dobbs. Now, look, I just watched the documentary not too long ago on how they caught the Boston bombers. It took them about 48 hours, and that was a big technological feat. Thousands and thousands of hours of video surveillance footage. They catch people like, although they didn't know he existed once they found out that he did, the Air National Guardsman, quick, okay? They catch people fast with a huge pool of suspects. But like there's 82, I believe that's the number I read, 82 potential suspects in the Supreme Court leak case, and we haven't caught who did that. And don't act like it's no big deal, like we did. It's just a noose, as Alito said. This inspired people through their passions to target Supreme Court justices for assassination. I mean, a dude did show up on Brett Kavanaugh's lawn, ready with zip ties and a gun and knives and ready to take out Brett Kavanaugh. Protesters at their homes. Yesterday on Fox and Friend, Shannon Bream told us there's still protests on justices' lawns. It's just not in the media. So there was a price to pay for this leak. And whether or not, you know, is Chief Justice John Roberts in his belief in the sanctity of the court and never air our dirty laundry, keep collegiality, minimum disruption, or whether or not, and I know it never went to the DOJ and the FBI, but whether or not it's those law enforcement agencies under the guidance of the Biden administration on numerous cases from the pipe bomber at the DNC and the RNC on January 6th to this and many others, a set of priorities, the American public has to see not everything right now is above the board. That's exactly what I heard on Fox and Friends this weekend when we had a panel of voters. Three self-described Democrats, okay? And of those Democrats, of those three, only one. Now, this is anecdotal. This is small focus group type stuff. But only one said she would vote for Joe Biden. But she said she would vote for Joe Biden in a general election. She's out, too, in a primary. The other two Democratic voters that I spoke to, out on Joe Biden in the primary and out on Joe Biden in a general election. The reasons given were, in one case, the economy, and in another case, what they felt like was unforgivable policies, priorities, positions on school closures, COVID, vaccines in general on COVID, the general approach to this total disruption of our lives, and the Twitter files, all of this extending into the world of censorship. That's what the three Democrats had to say. You sure it's Joe Biden? And then in perhaps the upset of the weekend, and again, it's anecdotal, it's small focus group type stuff. What they told me when asked, hey, if the general election were Joe Biden versus Donald Trump, Donald Trump, here we are 7 years into Donald Trump, right? In my estimation, it would have been that everybody's calcified, solidified, their opinion's 100% done. Of course, the Democrat that said she would support a Democrat in the general election wouldn't vote for Donald Trump. The one that said he focused on the economy raised his hand. Biden, no. Trump, hand up. And the one that cared about COVID and those issues, who, for what it's worth, she said, vote Obama, Democrats, immigrated from the Soviet Union. Biden versus Trump. Her hand went up ever so slightly that you could only see behind another person's back because she said she still lives on the Upper West Side of New York for Trump. We sure? If your name's Gavin Newsom, are you sure? If you're a mainstream Democrat and you see the success of RFK at 19%, you sure? If you're anybody but Kamala Harris who stands to inherit the throne of a man who would finish that term at 86 years old, if you're any other Democrat, Susan Rice just left the administration. If you're any other Democrat and you see that opportunity, you sure, once again, that it's Joe Biden?
We're going to step aside here for a moment. Stay tuned.
Story number two. The price of neglect may be the price of vision when it comes to the policies around illegal immigration. I do not think we need to start this conversation by stating the obvious. You and I both know, and anybody with an open mind understands, that the illegal immigration crisis at the American southern border is at historical levels. The tens of thousands of people that are coming across our border, the absolute policies that have invited not just Mexicans and Central Americans, but South Americans and Chinese and Middle Eastern illegal immigrants from across the globe to our border is obvious. It's created a pull, a sucking sound, and a denial of return that has brought children into illegal labor, children into sexual abuse, 85,000 illegal immigrant children missing. And it has invited the worst. Let me tell you a story from this weekend and the way the details slowly came out about a shooting in Texas. Late last week, we heard about the killing of five people on Friday by, at the time, what was described as a Mexican national, in some cases, in other cases, a Texas man. The story originally, and the way it played out on social media, was one, of course, about guns. The AR-15 was highlighted in this story, seemed to be the integral detail. Once again, we were told, where's the good guy with the gun? When are we going to have common sense gun laws? But as the details come out, it's quite clear this story, oh, it's awful and it's individual, but it's actually connected to a different policy, illegal immigration. Let me read from FoxNews.com. The FBI in Houston released new photos of a fugitive who allegedly killed five people Friday night in an execution-style mass shooting. The manhunt continued Sunday afternoon after Francisco Oropesa, 38. He allegedly shot five of his neighbors in their home, including an 8-year-old boy in Cleveland, Texas. Reportedly, the story was that Oropesa was in his yard firing off an AR-15 when asked by his neighbors to stop, he turned on them and came and killed these five individuals. The women were reportedly killed while attempting to protect, and I think successfully protecting, some children with their bodies. But then here comes the new detail that took several days. He's not a Texas man. He's not a Mexican national. He's an illegal immigrant. Oropesa is in the country illegally, says Fox News, and has been deported previously. An ICE source told Fox News Digital. He has re-entered the U.S. illegally multiple times, and ICE last encountered him in 2016. He has been in this country illegally and been, clearly unsuccessfully, deported on multiple occasions. This is it. Look, when Donald Trump is reviled in the public for saying they're not sending us their best, he's talking about this. When he talks about illegal immigration, he's talking about this. We have our own problems. You know, we have problems. We would have our own problems without fentanyl imported killing our youth, without madmen killing people execution style, children in Texas. But these policies have created the incentive, the open door idea. Ask any of the illegal immigrants. I've been to the border. Ask them. They think. They know, because they're correct. They'll largely get to stay. Claim asylum. Hey, claim your LGBTQ. I'm serious. That's the policy proposed by some Democrats. No detention. Immediately removed. Or not removed. Immediately released. If you're any of these select categories, including LGBTQ, is people understand it's not hard. And hey, this is a canary in the coal mine. We will have something worse. There will be an act of terrorism. You know what? I want to amend what I just said. I don't know that it'll be worse, but it'll be more obviously bad. I say I don't know it'll be worse because how many tens of thousands of people need to die from fentanyl poisoning for us to say that's bad enough? Does it get worse? These aren't ODs. These are poisonings. They're not people on the aggregate, on the large, trying to take fentanyl. Oh, they're taking black market Adderall, black market Xanax, dying of poisoning from fentanyl. Does it get worse? But it's going to get more obvious. I don't know. what it will look like, but it will be something we all recognize as terrorism. And why wouldn't it? You got a gaping hole. And I'm sorry, I'm a little angry, but when you have five people killed execution style, including an eight-year-old, and you for days neglect one of the key details in the story, which leads to other questions about our press, who inveigh about disinformation while constantly peddling disinformation, who inveigh about the breaking of democratic norms and threats to democracy while undercutting the foundation of democracy in free speech in the First Amendment as they lead the censorship regime. I am a little bit angry when your policies create this and then you hide the details of this to protect your policy. That is the price of, I don't know if it's neglect. Hell, it may be intentional. It's so bad, you have to wonder. The price you pay for your vision. Story number three. Winners and losers in the NFL draft. I love the NFL draft. You know I love the NFL draft. So, Thursday night, I stayed up too late. Friday night, I stayed up too late. And Saturday, I did not much else. I started when I was in college. Would sit on that couch, a couple of buddies who were similarly deranged, and just watch pick after pick roll by. Twitter tips the pick, so it's a little less climactic. But winners and losers in the NFL draft, and an opportunity for me to illustrate my objectivity. I can't go exhaustively through the entire league, but I'm going to give you my big winner. And, well, I don't know if it's your big loser, but a chance for objectivity. Big winner in the NFL draft has to be the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, the Eagles are getting scary good. They always have been at roster building. They traded for DeAndre Swift, running back from the Detroit Lions, after the Lions weirdly took a running back in the first round, and Jahmyr Gibbs. I really want to like Dan Campbell. I like him. Man, they draft like it's 1982. I mean, they took, what'd they take? A tight end, a running back, a linebacker with the first three picks, like through the first two rounds. All they're missing is taking a fullback at like the fifth pick in the draft. These are not, as we've evolved into learning, high value positions, you know, meaning like how much you have to pay them once they get good, if they get good, and how hard it is to replace them with cheap if they're not, or even if they're only average. These are not high value positions in opportunity cost, but the Eagles get it. Outside of Will Levis, the quarterback from Kentucky, the biggest dropper, faller in the draft, Jalen Carter from Georgia. Jalen Carter, some people said, we'll see how the quarterbacks would have worked out, but top player in the draft, defensive tackle. He got busted like speeding. Did he hit somebody? It was bad news. Whatever happened with Jalen Carter? I don't remember the details. I think he did. I think it was a wreck. It was real bad. And he dropped. He dropped to the Eagles, who took advantage, and they're going to put him on that defensive line with Fletcher Cox and Jordan Davis and everybody else from Georgia, including Nolan Smith, who was another big follower that they drafted at like, what was it, 27 or 28? Edge rusher from Georgia. Add to that, they got Kelee Ringo, another Georgia product who dropped, cornerback. Either the consistency in the draft and letting these guys drop was right, or the Eagles zigged everybody's zag and they got some really high value players at cheaper prices. And then, of course, like I said, they picked up DeAndre Swift. The Eagles are scary. I say that as a Cowboy fan, especially when I combine it with one of my losers of the draft. One of the Dallas Cowboys. Now, listen, I'm doing this to show you some sense of objectivity, but I'm not, I mean, I still have my faith. And the Dallas Cowboys have earned my faith. They're really good at the draft, and they have been. Sorry. I mean, they hit on the first round. They hit on the fourth round. They usually don't hit on the second round. Good in the fifth. They're good. So I give them the benefit of the doubt, the deference on their draft. They just did things we've never seen them do. They took Mozzie Smith, defensive tackle, like number one on Bruce Feldman at the Athletics freak list. In the 20s. And that's great. I want a defensive tackle that collapses the pocket, that can rush the passer, that gets on the quarterback from the inside and stuffs a run. And if he can be all that, which he was not in college, didn't have that production, then I'm excited. But I was told by the Cowboys, defensive tackle is not a high-value position. You could have had Nolan Smith. Could have taken one of the tight ends. Instead, they waited the second round, and they got a tight end who, I don't know, most people say like his sixth or seventh best tight end. By passing in the first, they lost the four best tight ends. They still could have taken Tucker Kraft, apparently didn't like Darnell Washington from Georgia, medicals. They could have taken Tucker Kraft from South Dakota State, but they took Luke Schoonmaker. By the way, Mrs. Schoonmaker, if you listen, because I have seen there's a fan out there that messages from time to time named Schoonmaker, I am big fan now. Trust me, I'm all in. But he wasn't that highly rated when you could have had Kraft or somebody else. Miss Schoonmaker, I'm not upset. I'm going to be rooting for Luke as hard as I can. I'm just saying, Cowboys, you're kind of doing things that you told us you didn't do. And you're neglecting the things you told us that you did need. Running back, offensive line, not addressed till later in the draft. And that brings me to, by the way, because we want to end on a positive note, back to one of the winners of the draft. Let's stick with the Cowboys. Kansas State running back Deuce Vaughn, selected in the sixth round by the Cowboys. Deuce Vaughn is 5'5", 175. Like, really small. I'm not worried about it. Darren Sproles was good. There's something about Deuce Vaughn. When the Longhorns played him, I always thought he was a problem. But that's not really the story. The story is that Deuce Vaughn's scouting within the Cowboys scouting department had to be unique, had to be handled differently. One scout wasn't allowed to look at Deuce Vaughn's tape. Everybody else had to. One scout wasn't in the room for the debates about how they rank Deuce Vaughn. And that scout's name, area scout for the Cowboys, was Chris Vaughn, Deuce's dad. So on Saturday, when the Cowboys were on the clock, and everybody knew at some point they got to take a running back, they decided their running back would be Deuce Vaughn. And they allowed Chris, his dad, as every draft pick does, to get a call from the team to be called on draft day. And Chris Vaughn called up his son and said, "Hey, Deuce, it's dad. My phone doesn't work. I thought I'd borrow a phone. I wanted to ask you a question." "Yeah, what's up?" "Would you want to come to work with me next week?" Waterworks all around, man. Everybody. You can see the video on social media. It's awesome. I challenge you not to have waterworks in that moment. It's a really cool father-son moment. It's a cool, as Jerry Jones said, maybe magical, maybe higher power, maybe luck. A lot of things had to fall in place for this to happen. What is just a cool moment. In an otherwise really impersonal business like any others, like mine or any other, to have this really cool personal moment. All right, that's going to do it for me today on the Will Kane Podcast. I will see you again on Wednesday. Listen ad-free with a Fox News Podcast Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts and Amazon Prime members. You can listen to this show ad-free on the Amazon Music app.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Janice Dean, Fox News senior meteorologist. Be sure to subscribe to the Janice Dean Podcast at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And don't forget to spread the sunshine.